Well, thank you, worship team. I don't know if you're here, but maybe the worship team left already. But thank you, worship team. It was a really wonderful way to enter into worship this morning. We appreciate that so much. And I would want to thank Jack, if he were here as well, for those comments, which lead very well into this. We're going to talk today about a text which is foundational to everything Jack just talked about with the kids just now. And the text we're looking at is one we've been looking at our church, at Fellowship in Etobicoke, as part of Epiphany, the Sundays of Epiphany. We're looking at the Sundays of Epiphany, where we see Epiphany meaning a revelation, a revealing, to see how Jesus was revealed to the people of his time. How, starting with, of course, Epiphany Sunday being traditionally the Magi, but looking at other ways when Jesus began his ministry, how he was revealed for who he was as the Savior and the Messiah. So that's what we'll be looking at this morning. We'd like to read the text, which is from Luke chapter 4. We're going to read verses 14 through 21. And as we read it, you'll notice that we're stopping right after verse 21, but the story continues. We divided it into two because there's two kind of very separate lessons that you can get from this. So we'll just be looking at one of those today. So we'll stop at verse 21. So Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, but the other major versions are not that much different. If you're reading from another version, you'll be fine. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Let's pray together. Our dear God, we thank you for the chance now to open your word, and we thank you for Jesus most of all. And we pray that you would, by your Spirit, tune our hearts so that we may learn what it is that you want us to learn from this passage today. So Lord, lead us now as we open your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. So if I were to say to you, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," you might well take offense at me. Yet this is exactly what we want to talk about this morning. So a spoiler alert, that's where we're going in this sermon, that this text that Jesus applied to himself, to his own ministry, is applied to us, fulfilled in the church today. This passage is about the rolling out of the mission of God through Jesus in the world. And it continues on, even as Jack told us about, it continues on through this day because Jesus proclaims through his church good news for a hurting and a broken world. So we want to look together and see how this may be so. But as we read these verses together, note that undergirding the entire text is the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Even as we sang about it this morning, the Trinity is alive and active in these words today. It's the Son who's physically present. The Son is giving the words of the Father, delivering the words of the Father. And it is the Spirit who, as we're told in the first verse here, empowers the Word. Jesus went out in his ministry empowered by the Holy Spirit. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, active here and also undergirding our message for today. This passage has been called Jesus' own commissioning statement. And it's Jesus reading these words of the scroll of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah from Isaiah chapter 61. And he just reads a portion of that very important passage from Isaiah. But it's Jesus saying there's three things. First of all, anointing. Secondly, ascending. And third, a proclaiming. And My outline for this morning is simply that we look at these three words together: anointing, sending, and proclaiming, all the while knowing that it is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that are behind these words. So if we begin where Jesus began reading from the scroll, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." First of all, this word anoint, what does Jesus saying when he says this, that God has anointed him through the Holy Spirit? Well, the sense of what the people would have understood is that there had been long ago a king who was anointed, a great king, their favorite king, King David. He had been physically anointed with oil by the prophet Samuel and told them way in advance, much to his surprise, that he was going to be the king. And the people of Israel always remembered that David was the great king. And they furthermore were told through the prophets that another king, a greater king, would come in the line of David to the throne of David, and that king would bring in an age of restoration for the people of Israel. That is what created their great expectation of a Messiah. And Jesus is saying, first of all, that he is the one. He is the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah. He is the fulfillment of the promise of this Davidic king to come again. Our common designation for Jesus is that he is the Christ. We say it as if it's the first name, last name, Jesus Christ, which is, of course, not how he would have used the name. What Jesus is saying here is that he is the anointed one. To say that he is the anointed one is to say that he is the Christ, because this word anoint, if you turn that verb into a noun, it is the noun Christ. That is where we get the name Christ, from the Greek verb that means to anoint. And the same thing happened in Hebrew. The Old Testament, Isaiah, was written in Hebrew. The same thing happened there. The word to anoint, if you turn that into a noun, it is the word Messiah. So Jesus is saying there, I'm the anointed one. I am the Messiah that you've been waiting for. I am indeed the Christ. He's the fulfillment of Isaiah 61, the one who will come as promised from all the Old Testament prophecies, the one who will restore the throne of David, the one who will come and free them from foreign rule is what they hoped, but not as they hoped, for he would do it in a very different kingdom than what the people had hoped. They hoped he would come to inaugurate a new age, and indeed he did. He came to inaugurate the age of the Spirit, which again is different than what the people were perhaps anticipating. But the age of the Spirit, Jesus is saying, he is empowered by none other than the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says here. And Luke confirms this even in verse 14, that Jesus, when he began his ministry, as even we saw the picture of Israel up there where Jesus began his ministry, he went out through that surrounding territory of where he's speaking now, and he was empowered by the Holy Spirit as he spoke these good words. So we want to dig a little deeper and see what it is that he spoke. But Jesus was announcing that this Spirit-led ministry would be a mission of the Spirit to Israel and then beyond, but in an audacious way and in a way the people could not expect. Now, we want to explore then a little bit as well in these texts. That's what it means for Jesus, but what did it mean for Jesus' followers? What does it mean for Jesus' followers today? And we often use the metaphor of the body of Christ with Jesus as the head and us as the hands and the feet and the mouth of Jesus, continuing Christ's work on earth. Well, the early church, it seems, took this very, very literally. We see the apostles taking these scriptures, these same scriptures that Jesus applied to his own ministry, and applying it to their ministry. For example, there's several passages in the book of Isaiah that speak of the servant of God as being the one to deliver God's work to the nations. And it's out of these passages that we have this idea, the Israelites had this idea, of the Messiah. Well, we see in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 13, that Paul and Barnabas are on a mission to the Gentiles, the exact mission that we saw on that map a few minutes ago. They're on this mission to the Gentiles. And they take one of these passages out of Isaiah that applies to Jesus, and they pluck it out and they apply it to their own ministry. And they say, I have set you to be a light for the Gentiles so that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And they apply that to themselves. That passage speaks of the anointed one, the Messiah, going to the on a mission to the Gentiles. And Paul and Barnabas stand up and say, this is us. This is our mission. We are on this messianic mission. We are taking the mission of Christ and we're applying it to our own ministry. And God even confirms this for them, doesn't he? By sending his Holy Spirit at Pentecost, as we'll be remembering in just a few weeks. He sends his Holy Spirit at Pentecost as an anointing on their ministry, to take their ministry to the Gentiles. Well, we continue that today. We continue that same apostolic ministries of heirs of that same ministry. And in these verses where Jesus says that he is anointed with the Holy Spirit, we remember that we too have been anointed with the Holy Spirit for our ministry. We are not left to do a ministry just by God telling us, go do this and I'll leave you alone. No, we're given the Holy Spirit to carry on the ministry of Christ on this earth. Jesus says here he was commissioned for God's work. And even as Jack reminded us this morning, we too are commissioned to go and make disciples of the nations, giving the good news to all and baptizing all in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. So we continue on as the very real body of Christ in the name of the triune God. So God the Father is at work in seeing that his mission is carried out in us and through his Holy Spirit, through the church. Jesus proclaims the good news of release to a hurting and broken world. The second word Jesus refers to here is sent. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has sent me, that is, the Lord has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. He has sent me. We're reminded of that. Our favorite verse, perhaps, for God so loved the world, that he sent his only Son into this world, that whosoever believes should not perish, but be saved through him. Jesus tells us here exactly who he was sent to as well. He says he was sent to the poor, to the poor. And we remember that when Jesus came, he was not only sent to the poor as an outsider, but he came and lived among the poor as a poor person himself. He took on the poverty of the people that he came to be with and lived among them in that way. And he says he was sent to the captives and to the blind and to the oppressed. Perhaps not an exhaustive list, but a representative list. But Jesus, in his ministry, fulfilled this, first of all, very literally, in healing the blind and freeing the oppressed, those oppressed by Satan, Satan binding them up through demonic oppression, being saved as well from spiritual oppression, freeing them from spiritual oppression. So literally and metaphorically and spiritually, Jesus came to the captives, to the blind, and to the oppressed. And the key word here is that Jesus came bringing release. He came to free people from this bondage that they were in. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and then to let the oppressed go free. The word there is actually release as well, to bring release to those who are oppressed. So Jesus came to release people from the burdens of sin, not just individual personal sin, but from the systems of sin which entrapped people in poverty. And when the New Testament church received this ministry of Jesus, they again took Jesus very literally. They accompanied the preaching of the gospel with programs to take care of the poor. And so we're told in the book of Acts that as they preached, there was no needy person among them because they had sold their possessions to take care of the poor. Thus, the people who came to believe in Jesus experienced true release from sin, true release from systems of poverty and oppression that would keep them in, and true release from oppression by Satan. We as a church are sent by God, empowered by the same Spirit. We're sent with good news for the poor. And I'm convinced that the church is the best place where the poor can really receive the good news that God wants to bring, because in the church, God breaks down the walls of barriers between us. God, there's no us or in them in the church, but God has broken down the barriers, including economic barriers. There was a lot of hoopla this past week about that movie Parasite. If you watched the Oscars last week, right? Remember the director was all excited because he received the award for best foreign picture, and he made a point of saying, "Well, I'm really glad to receive this the year that you changed the name, and the recognition of the name change is very important to me, and I'm just so glad to be here. So thank you very much." But he was very, very excited. But then he was called up again. Then he was called up again, and then he was called up for best picture, right? And so obviously he was just overwhelmed by what he received that night. Well, so the movie has gotten a lot of attention. Well, that movie is about classism. It's about just the barriers between the rich and the poor, and it looks at it from the aspect of a poor family who's trying to break into this rich family's life. And it is a devastating movie in many ways, right? Because of just because there's no solution really offered. There's no solution offered between this gap between the rich and the poor, and it ends in just a terrible way. I won't tell you how it ends. But the church does offer a solution. And the church offers a solution between rich and poor, and those who would be oppressed and those who bring the good news, in saying we are all suffering from the same condition of sin. We're all in this together because we all are needing the same Savior. And bringing us into relationship, not just a relationship between us individually and God in heaven, but a relationship with one another where the barriers are truly broken down and we can be together. And I'm convinced that the church is the best place on earth for this to be offered. And I'm pleased to see ministries going on in this place, even as I approach the building, ministries going on in this place that help us to do just that, to bring good news to the poor. Because God the Father is at work in seeing that his mission is carried out today. And through the Holy Spirit in the church, Jesus proclaims good news of release to a hurting and broken world. Well, the third word we want to look at is that of proclaiming. Jesus says, "He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." God provides his word. God gives good news, a message of good news for his servant to bring. And that message flows out of the scriptures, in this case, the Old Testament passage in Isaiah 61. But Jesus, as he went about his ministry, his word flowed out of the scriptures, but it also had a fresh word for the people, fresh word from the Messiah. And it is, as we've described, a good news to the poor and release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and the year of release, that is the year of the Lord's favor. And from the beginning, we can see Jesus delivering this message in the synagogues and in the temples and beside the sea and in fields and in vineyards and in the homes of people. It's a message that was confirmed by the Holy Spirit's presence in healing the sick and raising the dead and giving sight to the blind and of releasing those who were freed by the oppression of Satan. In similar fashion, in the New Testament, God speaks through his servants as they preach the word of God from these scriptures, these same Old Testament scriptures, proclaiming the beautiful and powerful name of Jesus. First, we see them proclaiming Jesus as Messiah in the temple courts for all to hear. And the Holy Spirit is there validating their words. Then we see preaching Jesus the Savior from home to home. And the Holy Spirit is there, we're told, shaking their homes, emboldening them to preach the gospel. Then we see them scattered by persecution across the land of Judah and Samaria and beyond. And they're preaching Jesus as the Christ in public and before the authorities. And the Holy Spirit is there as they go before the authorities, giving them words of defense and words of proclamation. And we see them moving across the Roman Empire, even as that map showed us a minute ago, preaching Jesus Christ as Lord to every tongue and tribe and people. And now that message has, as Jack showed us on the map, gone out to every corner of the earth. And the Holy Spirit was there confirming their message, and the Holy Spirit is here with us confirming the message, because we have been given a message of Jesus to be preached. Because the world is hurting and broken. The world is in despair, not having solutions to offer to the despair and the brokenness. We live in poverty, captivity, and blindness, and oppressions to systems that would hold us in that way. But the message of Jesus comes as good news. Good news for the poor. Good news for those needing release from sin. Good news for all of us, because we are all subject to the same problem of sin. The church is entrusted with this task. The church, all of the church, is entrusted with this task. Not just your paid ministers, but each one of us as the body of Christ, taking the message to each place that we've been taught, telling it to those with whom we interact. And that's why what Jack's charge to these children is so significant for us. It's the same charge for us today, to challenge ourselves to talk to one person about God this week, one person that needs to hear about God. And we're trusting in the fact that this message of Jesus that we have to deliver is a message from God himself. It is a message about Jesus, and it is a message empowered in our speech, in our proclamation, by the Holy Spirit himself. We are in a similar situation to you at Fellowship, and we are carrying on ministries, most of them quite simple, trying to reach people, one person, one relationship at a time, one wall broken down. We have a TOTS program where we simply just invite TOTS and caregivers to come in, and one of the women, one of our deacons, comes, but she doesn't come as a deacon, she comes as a grandma. She comes as a grandma, and she brings her grandson, and she hangs out there with the other kids and the other grandmas that come in. And through that, she is forming relationships, because she also works at the local food bank. And some of the people that come are nannies who are also raising kids on a single salary, and in many cases sending money back to the countries that they came from. And they're living in poverty. And this deacon is forming these relationships, one person at a time, where she's able to meet real needs and able to give them hope. Because hope comes to us in the form not just of words, but of relationships that show people their worth, show people how to break out of oppressive systems and move into a new life that includes Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing to watch her move among, you know, the other grandmothers and the other nannies, but to make these connections. But in the church, we take the long view, and we have time for these relationships which offer true hope to people. So how about us today as the people of God, the church of God? Who is it that is anointed and sent and speaking? Who is it that preaches good news of release to the poor? It is the church. Not just the paid pastors, as we've said, but each one of us, so that the word may reach into every sphere of life. As the body of Christ, Jesus is the head, and we are the mouth, his hands, and his feet. And we are Christ to our neighbors around here, our neighbors where you live, our neighbors where you work. Same for us in our part of Etobicoke as well. Because we find our mission there in Jesus' mission statement right here in Luke chapter 4. And we don't do this alone, but the sovereign triune God is actively over all of it. It's from him, it's through him, and it's for him. He anoints, he sends, and he speaks through his word. So by his Holy Spirit in the church, God proclaims his good news of release to a hurting, broken world. Let's pray. Our dear God, we thank you for entrusting to us this great mission of your Son. It is an awesome thing that you have entrusted the mission of your Son to your church, but you have done so. So, Lord, help us today to take up your words, Jesus' mission, to a hurting and broken world, and to do as Jack has challenged each one of us, to speak of the good news of God to one person in this coming week. We trust that we may do so by your Holy Spirit, helping us all the time. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
At this time, I am blessed to give the congregational prayer, but before I do, we welcome Marianne back from her mission trip to Bolivia. They came back on Wednesday, and all is well, I hear, and we look forward to hearing some stories about your time in Bolivia. And just a reminder that on Saturday, we have the coldest night of the year, and if you would like more information about that, you can talk with Peter Van Velzen after the service. They're doing a marathon walk, and followed by a dinner or some food, I understand. 5K? For some of us, that is a marathon. So it is a fundraiser. If you cannot join on Saturday, Peter is more than welcome to accept your donations as well. So please feel free to talk to him after the service. But let's come together in our prayer. Awesome Fathers, we come here today. We come knowing that you have given us the charge to go out and to be brave and to share your news with those in our circles and even those not in our circles. And Lord, we pray that as we go from this building today, that you give us that courage. You give us the courage to share the news with at least one person. Maybe it's a person that we see every day that we've never shared with before. Or maybe it's just a new person. Lord, just help us to be that brave Christian that you have called us to be. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you give to us. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the leadership of Pastor Doug as he continues to lead this congregation each and every day here. As he is willing to take on that charge here in this community. We pray as he gives the word in Holland Marsh, and that that community may be blessed through his message, through your heart. And Lord, we pray for all the volunteers here in this church as well. And without these volunteers, this church wouldn't be what it is. And Lord, we know that you have blessed us with just amazing hearts and gifts, and the people have stepped forward to deliver the news that you have called them to do. We thank you for our programs and the youth that come in each week. We thank you that they are able to find a safe place and that they are embraced with love as they come here to learn more about you and learn more about their place in this world. We thank you for our mission teams. We thank you for the team that just arrived back from Bolivia. We thank you for the safety that they had while there and for the good news that they spread there. And we also pray for Phil and Jeanette who are in Tanzania and that they continue to do your work there as well. And Lord, as we look at this week, we look for opportunities to serve you, to be blessed by you, to open our hands and to receive your blessings. In your name we pray. Amen.